Right after that, I was invited to Staten Island, New York, to preach a revival for the pastor there. And so I went down. Staten Island is one wicked place. I'm being facetious, but it's like, to me, it's so bad, it's like devils are hanging from light poles looking as you walk by. It's just ridiculous, the darkness that's there. All of it, the whole area is like that in New York. So there was a lot of pressure and that type of thing. So the first night I was there, I preached about, we'll make this thing happen, and what it is to be a believer. We had a move of God. People got the Holy Ghost. But the next night, I couldn't believe it. We had to start all over again. Why is it that each time we come to church, mostly, in most of our churches, every time you come to church, you start all over again? Why can't we pick up right where we left off the last service and just go? I mean, why can't we just come through the doors, worshiping, clapping, praising God? So here they were, and they worshiped, and it was fine, but I wasn't happy. So I got in the pulpit the second night, and I said, well, it's obvious you didn't believe what I preached last night. You didn't get it. So I am going to preach exactly the same message again tonight I preached last night. And I preached exactly the same thing, word for word, the second night I preached the first night. And I said, maybe you'll get it this time. And I went at it. One woman got it. And that's all it takes, just one person to get a hold of this. And it will change everything in a church, in a community. It will change it. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. One woman in that service that second night got a hold of it. The next day, she was in her home in Staten Island at the sink doing dishes. All of a sudden, in front of her house, she heard a crash. And she just dropped the towel and ran to the picture window, looked out on the street, and a car had hit a cop on a motorcycle and thrown him off, and he was in the gutter over here near the side. She threw that door open, ran outside, looked at him. His clothes were torn. There was blood on him. She got down on her knees beside him and laid her hands on his chest and began to pray and speak with tongues. She didn't stop. When the paramedics got there, they had to tell her to stop praying. They carried him off in the ambulance. The next day, there was a knock at her door. She went to the door, and it was the policeman. And she said, yes. He said, lady, when I got to the hospital, there were no cuts, no bruises, nor torn clothes. And he said, I've come here today to find out what it is you've got a hold of that would do this or cause this to happen for me. I can tell you what it is. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what it is. That's what it is. I've got it. You've got it. You've got it. It's in us. People, we can make this thing happen. We can make it happen because you've got the power inside of you. As a believer, you've got the power to cast out devils. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Oh, there's something wonderful in this area. I checked out again tonight on the way to church. You people in this area have broken the spirit world over here. Something has broken above this area. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. So you've got a right to shout. You've got a right to dance and rejoice in your victory. In your victory. There's a hole.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
In other words, your worship, your praise, your steadfastness toward God has broken a hole in the canopy of darkness over this entire area. And your praises are getting through, but the glory of God is getting through. It's falling down. And the more you worship, the more that power comes down. There are angels in this sanctuary tonight. Grab the hand of the person next to you and say, I've got what he's talking about. Look back and say, well, then act like it. Look back and say, tonight. Why not? There's no one here but us and Jesus, and angels are in this place, and we've come to worship. We've come to hear from God. We've come to feel him. We have come to rejoice in his presence.
When that happened, I realized I was on the right road, and I determined I will continue to make this happen. After that, I was invited to Newark, Ohio. There was a man there that came to that meeting. There were a number of people that received the Holy Ghost. There were lots of things that happened, but this one individual, he had been in some kind of an accident or something, but his arms were just, they were tied, just locked to his rib cage. You couldn't even get a pencil between his arms and his rib cage, his chest area. And they had somehow managed to get him dressed and all of that. But I had preached on faith. And at the very, very end of that preaching, they brought him down front, in front of everybody. There's about 500 people there in that service. They brought this man straight to me to pray for him. And he was the most difficult case in the whole place. So you preached it, and now you're on stage. I'm coming. I thought, God, help me right now. You know how you just, I laid hands on that man and prayed for him. The Holy Ghost hit him. He fell backwards on the floor, flat on the floor, and I stepped over him, and that got the pressure off of me, and I left him on the floor doing whatever, and I went through the people and began to worship with them and praise God with them. When it was all over, I had lost track of him. He wasn't on the floor anymore. He walked right up to me in front of everybody. He said, Brother Stone King, look! God had miraculously healed him. God had healed him. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a healer. And I can promise you here tonight, I don't care what the doctor told you. I don't care what the prognosis is or the diagnosis is. There is nothing in your body that is greater than Jesus. It does not exist. It cannot exist. Oh, I was in a meeting after that, and all kinds of things begin to happen. When you determine that you're going to make this thing happen, and I determined, and I don't give up. A woman saw some of these things in a service. One night she walked up, she pushed her way through. She was bold, maybe about 40-ish, and she was so sincere. She had tears in her eyes. She said, Brother Stone King, I want what you've got. And I was in a hurry. I said, well, here it comes. In Jesus' name. She fell out speaking with tongues. People, because I've got it. You've got it. We've got it. This is that. Another that is not coming. This is that. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice. I went to upstate New York and began to pastor there out of Bible college. And I got involved with, I just did all kinds of things. We had tent revivals. It was amazing. Well, there's one tent revival. It was in the Mount Pleasant area where the church I pastored at that time on Webster Street was located. Well, there were 7 Roman Catholic churches in Mount Pleasant area. So we pitched this tent, and It was old. It had rips in it. Big rips. Because we were all missionaries. It was really something. For example, I preached that tent revival, and a Roman Catholic priest came to the meeting one night, and he was drunk. He had come to check us out. I ended up taking him to the rectory because he couldn't get back on his own. But we caused quite a stir with the worship because we were worshiping like this out in the open. So the people complained. So I got a call from the chief of police downtown Schenectady. And he said, Reverend, I need to see you. I said, fine. So I had to go to the chief of police station downtown Schenectady. But I thought, I'm not going to go by myself. I took a young convert I had, Tommy Bowden. He had been a hippie, totally hooked on some of the hardest drugs you can imagine. No one could do anything with him, really. But in the process, I won him to the Lord, his brothers, his sister, and both of his parents. I won the whole family. It was amazing. So Tommy was in my church area. I said, Tommy, why don't you go with me? So he went. And he was converted. I promise you, he was converted. We walked into the chief of police's office, and this chief of police looked the part. He was big and burly like this, you know. He just had it all. He looked like part. So I walked in, and Tommy was with me, and I said, Your Honor, I said, I'm Reverend Stone King. He said, yes. And he said, Reverend, what are you doing over there? I said, well, I brought someone with me. I said, I want you to listen to him for a moment. And so Tommy, I just stepped back and I said, Tommy, just tell him your story. Tommy testified to him about what Jesus had done for him. And Tommy was anointed. You could feel the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came in that office, and that chief of police had never felt anything like that. I watched his big old hands begin to shake on that desk. He said, "Now, Reverend," he said, "you need to go now. It's all right." I said, "No, I want to stay a little longer. I want to talk with you. Make it happen. Make it happen." I said, "I want to say something to you." I said, his parents couldn't help him. The school system couldn't help him. The police force couldn't help him. Jail couldn't help him. None of you could help him. But Jesus did. That chief of police was absolutely moved. This is what he said. He said, Reverend, you go back there. He said, I'll send cop cars every night. We will police the area. We will protect you. We'll take care. We'll watch out for you. We had police coverage and protection every night of that tent revival without paying for it. People, just keep doing the will of God. Just keep doing the things of God. He'll make a way where there is no way. If you believe that, really believe that, clap again and just worship the Lord for a moment. One of the most outstanding things, I've seen a lot of things through the years. One of the most outstanding things happened in Newark, Ohio, years ago, I was still on this campaign to make it happen. And all kinds of things were happening back in the 70s. I mean, people were getting the Holy Ghost. There were hundreds getting the Holy Ghost. And people were being baptized in Jesus' name. There were miracles. All kinds of things happened. But in this one meeting, I told you wrong. It was in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. That's where this happened. I was in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. And the place was packed. There was no place to seat anyone. Men were standing against the wall at the back. The center aisle was filled with seats, and there was just a little narrow, tiny place, and people were all up here. But as I was had preached, and the power of God had fallen, the gift of faith was in that place. I was down here among the people, as I do, working with people, and I noticed something that I just watched it. Because while I was preaching, about halfway through my message, this back doors opened and they pushed a man in a wheelchair. And there was no place to put him. So the man against the wall opened up a little space. They pushed this man in the wheelchair back against that wall back there. Well, I could tell from my vantage point that something very serious had happened to him, because he was slumped over like this and he was very spastic. He just was very spastic. And so I kept on, and then the altar work was going on. But all of a sudden, as I looked up in the altar work, above the heads of the people, they were pushing that man in the wheelchair. They were opening up and pushing him down toward me. So I knew they wanted me to pray for him. And they got the wheelchair in here. And I, in my way of doing things, I walked over to him and I knelt down. And I said to him, I said, what happened to you? And he was very spastic when he talked, and it was difficult to get some words out. But in his effort, he was able to tell me that he had been hit by a car while he was on a motorcycle. And when they had picked his body up from off the highway, part of his brain was left on the paving. And he was just totally crippled. It was really something. Well, what happened was they took him to the hospital. Well, they called his wife, and she brought their little daughter. And so she was standing beside his bed in the hospital. He's paralyzed. His brain is, he can think, he can understand everything, but he's paralyzed from the neck down. He can't move. He's just paralyzed. So the medical prognosis was, to her, his wife, he'll never walk again. He won't be able to move again. He'll basically just be a vegetable. So the doctors gave her the prognosis, the diagnosis. And this is what she did. Standing at her husband's bedside, him not able to move, but could understand everything that was being said and done, she asked for a mercy divorce, and it was granted. What happened to the "till death do us part"? What happened to all of that? He told me later, he said, "Brother Stone King, when my wife turned and walked away from my bed," he said, "my brain said to my arms, reach out for her." He said, but the arms could not get the message. He said, my brain sent messages to my legs, jump out of this bed, run after her, and bring her back. He said, but my legs could not get the message. He said, there was nothing that I could do. Because the wires from the brain, so to speak, to the members of the body, had been cut. But I know someone that can reconnect the wires. So at this point, I said, Bob, look, there's something called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. would you like to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And I explained it, and in his broken way, he said, yes. I'm not exaggerating. I laid hands on him, began to pray with him. In just a few minutes, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He began to speak with tongues. Speak with tongues in that wheelchair. It was absolutely tremendous. And when he did, he sort of straightened up. And I said to him, I said, Bob, look, would you like to walk? He said, oh, Brother Stone King, I haven't walked in so long. I said, I can't walk. I said, look, I'm going to help you. Remember, make it happen. I said, look, Bob, I'm going to put my left arm under your arm. I'm going to pull you up. And my pastor, Brother and Sister Butcher, were there from Iowa. They had come to that revival to be with me, and they knew how to work with me. So Brother Butcher saw what I was doing, so he came and stood there, and I got Bob on his feet, okay? But you have to remember, the muscles in the legs were atrophied. They had not been used to walk and all of that. And so he just had a terrible time. And it was something because his feet would be like this. They'd be like this, all twisted around. So what I did was I got down on my hands and knees, and I would take his feet, and I would push his toes forward like that. And then he was leaning on me, and he was leaning on Brother Butcher. I said, I'm going to walk you in Jesus' name. And I said, let's take a step. So he took a step. I said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That's where it's at, people. It's in Jesus' name. That's where it's at. I got him all the way down here. I got him all the way down here. I turned him around, straightened his feet forward again, and began to take him back in Jesus' name. We went back. I don't know exactly how many times we did that, 3 or 4 times. I don't remember. But the people were on their feet watching and praying. All of a sudden, we had turned him around here, and we got back here. And I was really tired. I had preached, and he was heavy. It just was tiring. And he was leaning on me and Brother Butch, and he was heavy. And I was leaning over like this, and it was just in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And this is what I did. I said, Jesus, you've got to help me. You promised if I would do such and such, you would do so and so. I've done everything I know to do. I have called out. I have preached this truth type thing. I said, Jesus, you've got to heal him. You've got to help me in Jesus' name. I can't, because I can't do anything else. I've done all I know to do. At that point, he caught his weight. He stood on his own, and I knew that God had healed him. It was absolutely amazing. Just amazing. And so at this point, I just held on to his hand carefully, because to steady him, and he kept walking, and we walked him back here. But he's doing it on his own now. I'm not supporting him. I'm not holding him up. We're still worshiping in Jesus' name, but he's just walking along. And we made a turn here, and we got it back about here. And I said, Bob, would you like to be seated? I said, you must be very tired. He said, Brother Stone King, I have not stood for so long. He said, it's just absolutely tremendous to stand. And then I don't know where he ever learned this. I never did find out. But he turned and looked right in my face, and he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He walked out of there that night in that service, pushing the wheelchair. From that time on, whenever I would be in that general area preaching, Bob would make an effort to get there to hear me. And sometimes he'd get there late, a few minutes late. But whenever he walked in, even though it was middle of my preaching, I'd stop and say, folks, this is Bob Stotler. This is the man I told you about, because the whole area knew about it. That thing spread, that miracle spread all over that part of the country. People, you have miracles happening here. You won't build a building big enough to house what's coming. Because those people out there are sick of religion. But what they have not seen is the demonstration of the Spirit of God and power. And you people have got that power here. You've got that demonstration here. It's upon you here. There is just one last thing I want to do here tonight before we leave this service, because I feel that something broke in the general area. We entered this town in Jesus' name. Something is breaking. There's no doubt about it. So I want you to come forward, unless you're just really involved praying with someone. I want you to come forward. Just push your way in here close to the front. And I want to share something with you that I have discovered and understand. And it's helped a lot of people. You people are powerful. As I walk among you to pray with people, when I come near, it's obvious to me that you are transmitting all the faith that is needed to get the healing or the miracle that you're praying for. So I didn't stop to pray. I just kept on going. You people are powerful. You're powerful. In the Bible, it's always been very interesting to me to note that the Hebrew children were asked by God to shout. And the walls of Jericho came down. I've been to Jericho many times. The walls didn't fall over on the ground as you think. I've been to the ruins. The walls sunk into the ground. The Hebrew children walked across on level ground. The walls sunk into the ground. They didn't climb over rubble and debris. It's amazing. And then I've noticed when God had Hebrew children shout, walls came down, enemies were discomfited, battles were won. It's all through the Bible, the shouting. They did shouting in the New Testament too. What is it about a human voice that would cause walls to crumble, sink, enemies to be discomfited, battles to be won when the people of God shouted? So this is what I learned by just a little research. There's something about the human voice. When it shouts, it shreds the air. The Bible says the devil is the prince and power of the air. So it makes sense to me then, if the people of God shouted the praises of God, it would shred the devil's kingdom. And the walls would come down. The enemy would be confitted. Jesus! It's coming down! It's coming down! It's coming down! Ah! You people are never going to be the same again. If you're never going to be the same again, because you can't be the same again in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, just clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. A voice of triumph, because there is triumph.
You saw what just happened when you shouted and worshiped. When the gift of faith is present, the gifts of healing are what God does through us, the laying out of hands, prayer lines, etc. The gift of faith is what God does without us. And the gift of faith is here tonight. When the gift of faith is present, many people can be healed just instantaneously. They walk in with something in their body, they walk out without it. And that's what's happened here tonight. There are people that have been healed just by being in the presence of the Lord, because the gift of faith is here. So you have shouted, worshiping Him, but I think it'd be very fitting if we just don't do it till I tell you. I'll count to three and then shout. But I think you just ought to shout the word hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise in the entire world. And hallelujah is pronounced the same in every language in the entire world. Literally, intricately interpreted, the word hallelujah means, I give my whole being to Jehovah. So I'm going to count to three, and I want you just to shout the word hallelujah, just thanking Him for what He's done, because you're going to find out things tomorrow that have happened. People will realize this is God, that is God. It happens all over in the meetings where I am. I find out things sometimes months later, miracles that happen. But I want God to do it that way, because we've got to get beyond traditional Pentecostalism. Because we don't, how are you going to have a prayer line for 1,000 people? We've got to get into mass evangelism. And I feel like you people could be part of that mass evangelism thrust, because you've got the sentiment for it. You've got the faith for it. And you are backing your pastor. Brother Brown is one of the most outstanding people in our movement. He's an incredible preacher, just an incredible preacher. And so you are safe with this ministry. So I want you just to shout the word hallelujah, and then I'm all done. You and Jesus can do whatever you want to do, okay? One, two, three.
There's a number of pastors that are in this place, and if your pastor is here, I want you, if it's possible, to get by your pastor, by your pastor's wife. I did feel in prayer that the Lord said that there's going to be a shift that takes place in this region. God's doing a regional thing, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why I just felt impressed to open this up to other churches to come here if your pastor is all right with it. And I felt the Lord speak to me that there's going to be a shift after this week and when you go back to your churches on Sunday. God's doing a new thing in the north. God's doing a new thing in the north. There's going to be a breakthrough in this area. And so if your pastor's around or some folks from your church around, I want you to bind together. And I want you just begin to boldly prophesy to the wind. Greater things are about to come. Greater things are about to happen. We shall see these signs follow them that believe. Would you just begin to speak a blessing upon your pastor? Would you begin to speak a blessing upon some saints right now? In the name of Jesus, not by my might and not by my power, but by your spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska. Lord, things are changing. There's a shift in the air. The prince of the power of the air has been defeated. And God, we march forward. We move boldly in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus over Fargo. In the name of Jesus over Bismarck. In the name of Jesus over Huron. In the name of Jesus over Mitchell. In the name of Jesus over Sioux Falls. In the name of Jesus over Jamestown. In the name. That's it. Go ahead. Go ahead and get it in the Holy Ghost. I believe it, God. I believe it for the Waddles, God. I believe it for Pastor Waddle and Sister Waddle. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sototataka. Lord, you're going to do a work. Lord, bless Pastor Sletton right now. Bless Andrew, God. Rekotota ramaha. Bless Pastor Benjamin in the name of Jesus. Let them break forth on the right. Let them break forth on the left, God. Lord, there's a revival breaking out that jail. There's a revival breaking out in that prison. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, 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 Jesus.